All right. We're going to be talking about the dark side today. Every one of us has a dark side. And Jesus, in his speaking to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been going over for the last few weeks, and we've spent quite a bit of time on the first four aspects of walking with the Lord. And I'm not going to give you a synopsis of what those are because I've done it. You can go online if you haven't heard it. You can go online and get the message. But the context is he's been ministering to thousands of people on this particular day, and healings were taking place. People were fighting through the crowd to be able to touch him, and if they touched him, they were getting instantly healed. People that had oppressive spirits on them were being delivered. It was an amazing move of God. But just prior to that, he had chosen his 12 apostles. And he had chosen these men. They probably didn't even know what an apostle was. Well, they didn't understand the dynamics of that. But along with those were about another 200 people. And so they were with Jesus. They were in the crowd right in the very front with Jesus. Then you had all the other people out there. And Jesus stops what he's doing in healings and teaching the crowd. And he starts to focus on his disciples. And then he starts to give them, both the men and the women, information about what it's like to participate in his kingdom. Because he made it very clear his kingdom was not of this earth. And in fact, when Pilate asked him on the day, night, morning he was to be crucified, asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said, "Yes, I am." And then he said, "But my kingdom is not of this world." It's in contrast to this world. It's not just the separation between my world is better than this world. It's absolutely fundamentally different. And the people in God's kingdom live differently than the people who are members of the earthly kingdom. It is not a mixture of the kingdom of God with a particular government, kingdom of God with a particular ideology. It is in stark contrast to those. The basic difference, the rooting of the difference, is that the kingdom of the earth is always about self-interest. It's always about our will, a government's will, a nation's will, a person's will. They operate with self-will. The kingdom of God operates from the perspective of God's will. And that often incorporates the denial, the subjugating of our will to that will. So it is fundamentally different. So Jesus has been explaining to his disciples the great blessings that come from following him. But there will be trials. There will be persecution. They will start to make a difference in justice in the world because they have seen things differently. They get the eyes of Jesus. They recognize that everybody's poor in spirit. Everybody's broken. Everybody is poverty-stricken. The most wealthy among us die. Every one of us die. From God's perspective, we're all in trouble. Spiritually, we're all in trouble. We're separated from God. And then he begins to give us those eyes to see other people. And not just the eyes, but the will to do something about it. And he says there's great reward in that, but you'll also be persecuted for it. You make a stand for Jesus, people are going to come against that in some fashion. And then he changes it, and he's going to talk to them about the dark side. So before we get into that, I want to preface it a little by sharing this with you. The dark side, which each of us have, which his disciples had, is that secret places in us, the dark places, that undermine our effectiveness to live life. And sometimes we don't even know about them. Most of us live by our light, the places of light. That's where our actions are for people to see. We do things that people see. We put our best foot forward. We act in ways that we want people to judge us and know us. We do things in ways that we want people to accept us. And a lot of those things are good. But there is this dark side of us that motivates sometimes a lot of that behavior. I will people please. I will be codependent because I need approval. Because there's this dark insecurity in me. There's this dark place where I feel less than. There's these voices I hear. But I don't share those. And I think I can keep them at bay by keeping them over here secret. You know, in recovery, there's a saying that you're only as sick as your secrets. So Jesus, looking at his disciples, knows they have darkness in them. Knows they have a dark side. And the dark side is doesn't mean we're bad. It means it needs to be managed. I need to be able to bring it out and, according to what Scripture says, shine light on it. If I don't shine light on it, then it still is in the dark. But oftentimes we don't share any of our dark side because it's embarrassing to us. It's shameful to us. We're guilty about it. But it's still there. And it renders us ineffective in living the full life God has for us to live. So, John, one of the disciples who's sitting there years later, writes about this. And this is the key that Jesus wanted to share, which we'll be sharing for the rest of the service. He wanted his disciples to know that it needs to be illuminated in them. You know, one of the big problems with the Pharisees and the religious leaders is they were unteachable because they did not think they needed to be taught anything. They knew it all. They knew it all. And that's such a kid way. No matter what I say to our youngest, he already knows. He knows how to use a wrench. He's never used one, but he knows. He doesn't know how to do this, but he knows how to do it. I know, I know, I know. It's like you can't even read the directions. How do you know? Well, Papa, I see you put things together and you never read the directions. That's different. How many of us guys have that dark side? We don't need no directions. We'll drive around for 5 hours. Not anymore with GPS at all. That took all the fun and adventure out of it. But nonetheless, and that was Jesus' problem with the religious leaders. They could never be taught. They were self-consumed. So we'll look at some of that. So 1 John 5 through 9. The Apostle John says this. Remember, it's years later, and he was sitting at this meeting we've been talking about for the last few weeks. He says this. This is the message we heard from Jesus. Okay, he was there. He had heard this message before, and now he wants to share it. And that's what the Scripture is. When it's written down for us, it's the sharing of what God has done and what he's doing. He says, we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you that God is light. Then there is no darkness in him at all. God hasn't revealed everything he's going to do, but he is never motivated by some dark thing in him, some broken place in him that affects the way he does things. There is no darkness. He is fully aware. He has no bad days. He has no secret life. He has no things that, there is nothing in him that he hides, character-wise. And so when he says, I love you, there is no other motive behind it. He's not placating us. He's not throwing flattery at us so he can manipulate us. I know nobody ever uses love as a manipulating tool. That's the dark side right there. He doesn't have any of that. So he says there is no darkness at him. How he presents himself is this. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. He's talking to believers here. You can be spiritually alive with God and not even be aware that dark things in you are motivating multiple behaviors. Not even aware of it. Yet even saying, as John says here, no, I walk in the light. I walk with Jesus. We're good. Everything's tight. We're doing it. He's saying, no. We lie. If we say that we are in fellowship when there's darkness in us. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. With what's coming out of our mouth is different than what's actually happening, but yet we say it's all good. I've talked to many people in my office, and I've shared it with you guys before, that'll tell me something they've done, and oftentimes saying, I've never revealed this to anyone before, but I feel like I can reveal it to you. And then tell me this thing, and then say, but that's not me. That's not me. And I always ask them, well, then who is it? You just told me you did it. And now you're telling me that's not you. There's a problem in that. There's a problem in that. And you will be bound to that thing until you get in the light and reveal that is in me. Without the spirit of condemnation. He's talking to God's kids here. What stops us is guilt and fear and condemnation and all the other things we attach to this thing in us. Thinking it's not going to affect us. When it actually spills out into every area of our lives. Recognizing it, putting light on it, realizing, oh, sometimes I do things out of insecurity. Oh, I do things out of feeling less than, so I lie to make it. I caught a fish, yay big! You guys like me now? You like me better? I did marvelous things. I've had many a guy tell me back at the mission, I've shared this with you guys too, that what a great criminal they were. I said, great. Didn't you just get out of prison? You ain't that great. They caught you. How many times you been to prison? 4? You're not good at all. You got no skills. Right? Let's just, call a spade. Call it as it is. I'm a great husband. Hold on. Is he a great husband? No, she don't think you're that great. So, yeah, I am. Well, ask the person you're married to. Ask the person you're married to how great you are. If they say you're great, don't ask Therese. Ask somebody else. I'm talking about you other people. Talking about my marriage. Stay in your lane. Come on. No, you can ask her, But see, I'm aware. I'm aware I got issues, and I try to deal with them. But that doesn't mean, and this is the other thing about the dark side. Just because it's revealed doesn't mean it goes away. A huge part of the light shining on our issues is the ability to manage them. I have to be aware that there is a place in me. I operate out of some insecurity. I have to be aware of that so I can manage it so it's not affecting how I operate. So I can keep it in check. And oftentimes we need to reveal it to somebody else. If you're anybody in here is dealing with a dark part of them that they cannot get victory or consistent victory over, probably some methodology in the way you're dealing with it is not working. And we'll talk about that too. And basically, it's confessing it to another person so they can pray for you, so they can help you. But see, that dark place in us might say, don't share that. Don't share that. But the truth is, according to Scripture, is that there is no temptation that has come upon any of us that is not common to all of us. So once we realize that, we can begin to start to be transparent. I'm not saying throw your pearls out in front of everybody. But I'm saying deal with it. Shine light on it and deal with it. If I don't know what I'm good at and I don't know what motivates me darkly, then I only know a part of who I am. And if I don't ever want to look at the dark side because I don't want that, I want to be someone that doesn't have that, but yet I have it, but I'm not going to look at it so I don't have it, but it affects every part of my life, I'm in a world of turmoil. Amen? Amen. So he tells them, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Then we have intimacy with each other. Intimate means a real sharing. A real sharing of life. Not just superficial sharings of life. You know, when we can't tell certain things to our loved one because they'll react, they'll go off the wall. You know what that means? That's going to be a lack of intimacy in a certain area. I will not be able to be close to them in that. If my home isn't a safe place, then we only share the dark with where it's safe. And that's why some of us don't even share it with God. We don't even think he's safe, even though he already knows it. And he's the one shining the light on it. We have to be safe and we have to create safety. And the only way you create safety is being whole enough in your own world. So, he says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Cleans. It didn't say removes completely and I never have to deal with it again. I might need regular cleansing. And part of that cleansing is being aware of when the dirt is starting to get there. He says this, and if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and living in the truth. That's what hinders people from coming to the Lord. The Lord many times, well, they say, I ain't really got that. I'm not that bad. I'm not that kind of, you know, I'm not that person. You know, you might need Jesus. I'm glad you got him. Glad you got him. You need him. But me, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't done, and then we start listing the things we haven't done. I always tell them, well, what have you done? What, you know, tell me those things. I'm glad you haven't done those. Praise God you haven't done those. Praise God you haven't had to suffer any of that stuff. Now, what have you had? What's going on? Well, this is my fourth marriage. Okay, so you're not good at relationships. How do you undermine those? Hey, Joe! It's my picker that's bad. Oh, so she's the problem you can't do. So that always interests, that always opens up to good conversation. So I guess I won't be seeing you next week, okay? We came in here to fix her. And sometimes she needs fixing. But you're with her, so what's that say about you? All right. Nobody's left yet, so that's a plus. Gets worse. All right, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful, not just to forgive us our sins, but he's also faithful to cleanse us from these things, to help us. So cleansing means he changes the way we act, changes the way we look. If I've been in mud all day, I look a certain way. If I operate in darkness a lot, it affects every part of my being. I look a certain way and I act a certain way. And when I touch things, I leave dirt on everything I'm touching. He says he comes in and he cleanses that. So we appear different. If I take a shower after being all dirty, I appear different. And I act different. Smell different. That's what God does in here. So that I can then act different. It's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. So Jesus wanted to make his disciples aware of this dark side in them, because they're going to be acting like him for the rest of their lives and passing that information down to the next. Just like bad information gets passed to us, good information can get passed to us too. And as we take in the information, become teachable, that begins to change the way we live, and that begins to affect everything around us. It works both ways. So he says this to them in verse 24, back in Luke 6. What sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. Now these guys are with him, and the ladies are with him looking at him, and they see the religious leaders that have been checking Jesus out, and even the religious leaders, everywhere they went, they wore their religious costumes. So everybody knew, and almost all of them were wealthy. They were good businessmen. They had prestige in the religion. And he says, those guys, without saying that, claim to know God, but riches got in their way. So what does that mean? What's he saying to his disciples? Be careful. Don't be consumed with the accumulation of wealth. Everybody's got to work. And God's not against prosperity and you lifting yourself up and becoming something. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't be consumed with the accumulation of wealth. Don't have your faith that if I only have this amount, that amount, then I'll be okay. If I only have that, then I'll be okay. And spend hours, years, every waking moment worrying and accumulating. He says, because if you do, you're my children. You're my children. He says, the problem is it'll bring you great sorrow. Teresa's dad's a perfect example. He spent a lot of time, left his wife and their seven kids to go with a neighbor. Spent all his time accumulating wealth. And what happens is when you get old and you've accumulated, you're still not happy. And then you look back at your life and you begin to regret spending no time with the kids. Spending no time with those people you profess that you loved. And you have great regret. Teresa's dad told Therese that, I wish I would have never left your mom. Huge mistake I made. I was chasing after wealth and whatever it would get me. Because I made a big mistake. And God blessed her by having the last few years of his life to be with him and to minister to him and to love him and to care for him and to mend the relationship. Because earlier on in their relationship, she asked him when we were in our early marriage, she says, Dad, could you and me go out to lunch once a month or maybe even breakfast once a month? And he said, No, I'm busy. What's that do to a kid? How does that mess with you? And then years later, God healed it. Cool. But there was a price that was paid. Jesus is telling his disciples, not about salvation. He says, beware of this pitfall. You're going to face it. You'll have great regret. Then he goes on to say this, what sorrow awaits you? See, when he says awaits you, that's a thing in the future. You don't think it's that sorrowful right now. You're lost in the present. He says, it's awaiting you. You're accumulating it. You think you're accumulating this other thing, but what you're really accumulating is something else. And he goes, what sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now? For a time of awful hunger awaits you. It kind of goes along with the first one. He goes, the first one was accumulating wealth to be okay, and then to look back at the sorrow of regret. That's why Jesus said, live every day one day at a time. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised. My dad works so hard and then dies at 49. Before he and my mom ever went on their first vacation together. Their first vacation together. And he dies. He had his new suits and everything. Got buried in it. Like, we're not promised that. He says, listen, in this one he says, don't be so consumed with yourselves. I got to get this. It's all about me. You know, she's not doing this for me. I'm not doing, you know, me, consumed. He goes, listen, you're fat and prosperous now. You'll find all that stuff now that you're, it's about you. You'll find a great hunger in you later. What is the hunger? I've given up all my connectedness to others because they weren't meeting every need I had, everything I wanted. Teresa and I have said to a number of times to each other in our marriage, what's in it for us? Well, I said it anyway. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I go to work, take care of the kids, I do the letter, I come home. What do I get out of this? I know, has anybody else ever said that? It's got to be common with some of you. We have that thing. All I do is slave. What do I get? Well, if that's it, then we're missing something. We're missing the connectedness. We're missing the joy of hanging out. Or he says, you will, all that self-centered, you will regret it. You will regret it. That real connection is missing. Then he goes on to tell him this. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What's that mean? What do you mean by laugh now? It means living for pleasure. Living for distraction. Living to have a different reality. Drug addiction, any kind of addictions, all that porn and all those addictions that we have. Food. I'm consumed with this. Coming home at night, sitting in front of the TV for 5 hours. He goes, listen, you're sitting, you're fat and prosperous. You're distracting yourself from life. And then you look back 40 years later and say, wow, I could have done so many other things. Why did we not do more? Why didn't we go on some more vacations? Why didn't we do these? Why didn't I hang out when the kids were little so that now that they're teens and they're leaving, they don't even want to hang around me anymore? They got their own lives. And it's like, He goes, how many, especially in our generation, we're lost on scrolling, lost on video games. We can be distracted by so many things and not present. Goes, you will, and looking to laugh and just have that good time. He says, you will mourn later on about that. Remember, Jesus is sharing this with guys. These guys might not even be aware they have that in them. Some of them were probably already living that way before they came to Jesus. He says, just because you come here, that's not eliminated in your life. And as you're going to go forward in the next 40 years, and as generations later, us, we're going to be still dealing with those same types of dark things. Be careful, he said. It is not neutral. It is spiritually dangerous ground. It is relationally dangerous ground. Be careful how you tread on it. Realize that it's not neutral. And then he says this, what sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds? You'll do anything. You're desperate for approval. You're the people pleaser. That's motivated by a dark thing. I believe in Jesus, but I don't really want to say anything. I don't want to come against anything that's against that. I don't want to do anything because I need these people to approve of me. That's not coming from a healthy place. When everybody approves of you, that's a problem. Now, I'm not saying if they disapprove of you because you're doing disapprovable things, that's different. But if you're standing for the Lord and you're standing in that and you take some persecution for that, that's normal. But there's a tendency, and he's telling his disciples this, there's a tendency that we don't want to do that. So he says, beware. Fear God more than you fear people. Because if you fear people more than you fear God, you're going to compromise yourself. Then you're going to have to deal with the bitterness and the resentment, the anesthetizing, so I don't have to feel it. Be strong enough to stand on your principles. And you know what? That actually blesses people. They may not like you for it, but it blesses them. In the big picture, they know you are a person of integrity. When I was in the beer company, I became known as the holy guy. Yeah, I was the, well, my dark side was kept from them. Although they knew something was up. Why are we missing so much beer from this place? But when I got to the kingdom, I didn't go drink after work. You know, they had keggers there after work in the lounge. Apparently driving, I don't know, but anyway. But I became as the holy guy. So when guys would have trouble, there would be all this talk going on in the morning while all the drivers, there's 30 of us in there, and there's all kind, guy, 30 guys, there's all kinds of crude talk. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but I'd walk in and they'd start apologizing. Oh, sorry, Joe. You know, they drop F-bombs and they're sorry for it. It's like, I drop F-bombs. No, not anymore. Okay, not as much. Luckily, we can edit film. Oh, it's live stream. Sorry. But anyhow, I would walk in and they'd want to, you know, they would start chilling out like, you know, I'm this guy. And they would laugh and stuff, and I'd tell them, you know, whatever. And then, but when they had issues, they'd come find me on the side of my truck. And, Joe, I got this issue going on. And, you know, I'm 2 years, 1 year into the Lord. I don't, you know, I'm just trying to get my act together. And so I tell them, come to church or something like that. Or, you know, I'd give them whatever I learned. And, but they didn't have anything. So giving them anything helps, right? So, and you got that same opportunity. Some of you got, you know, years in the Lord. Some of you got way less, but you can give something. But it's your integrity. You know, I even though they joked and stuff, I was consistent. I learned to be consistent. I learned to be sober. I learned to be in that environment. And that stands out. Then they ask you about your you know, why do you do this? I'm a Christian. I got drug issues. I can't do this kind of stuff. That like, because I know they did too. They had issues too. Anyway, don't worry about everybody approving you. Make sure God approves you. And that's the big deal. So, he says, listen, prosperity, power, popularity are all accompanied by spiritual dangers. Be aware of that, my disciples, as you move forward. And then he goes on to tell them this. In the next verse, verse 27, he says, but to you who are willing to listen. What does that mean? Sometimes you're not willing to listen. There were probably people in there, and Peter was probably one of them, and Judas was another that was sitting in that crowd that could only take in so much. And what Jesus had just told them about these great sorrows they needed to be aware of, they were full. Some were full, some were still hungry, some were still learning. Peter, he was always trying to tell Jesus what to do. So he only got a bit of it. A couple of the disciples asked if they could sit on Jesus' right hand. They were still wanting the glory, the power that came with following Jesus. It's a walk. That dark side was being revealed, and there's only sometimes so much we can take. Some of you right now, you're tripping on what I said 10 minutes ago, and you haven't really heard what I've said in the last five. So you're thinking about that. And so now he goes on to tell them about heart issues. He goes, beware of that stuff out there that is dangerous to you. Now check your heart. He says, listen, but to you who are willing to listen, to you who can receive it, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. That is so anti-cultural to their world. You know what their world was about? If you are harmed, pay back 10 times. It's almost like some of the Muslims, the Sharia, the strict Muslims. If somebody steals, cut their hand off. That was their mentality. And then Jesus is telling them this. Unbeknownst to these guys, Judas, his enemy, is sitting there. Judas is the one who will hate Jesus. He is the one who will literally curse Jesus to death, put the curse of death on him by going and turning him in so he can be crucified. He is the one, and Jesus is speaking to these, and he goes, to you who are willing to listen, to you who can get it. And he never once ratted Judas out. Judas was stealing from the community purse. Jesus loved his enemy. You know what loving your enemy means? To treat him like a friend. That's heavy. Doesn't mean to be a doormat, but it means to treat them as still a valuable human being. To treat them as someone who is still worth something. Because that's the way Jesus treats us. Scripture tells us he went to the cross while we were still sinners. We were against him when we were his enemies. He died to save us. He says, following me and doing good, that's the way the kingdom operates. So you must do that. And he's not talking from a high, lofty position that he didn't ever have to do that. Oh, he did it. He was still speaking to the religious leaders who were dead set on ending him. And he's telling his disciples, that's how my kingdom operates. That's how I operate. That's how you operate. We're not earthly kingdom people who treat others the way the earthly people do. And then he says this, if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. Don't take revenge. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Be generous. Give beyond the norm. They didn't even ask for the coat. He says, but be willing to give that. Let things flow through you. Because that's what he did. He said, give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. That's heavy stuff. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Not what they do to you, what you would like them to do to you. I want people to forgive me. I want people to treat me as a friend when I've messed up. I want people to give to me in my need. How many of us have asked? And it doesn't always mean ask for things. Ask for time. I want someone to give me their time when I need their time. I never want to do what Teresa's dad did and tell the kids I don't have time to hang out with you. I did when they were younger. And I'll tell you what, I regret that years later. Absolutely. And I will not do it again. No. You know. Do to others as you like them to do to you. And this is the other thing. If someone comes into my house and wants to hurt somebody in my family, I will kill them. I will. Jesus isn't talking about defending. I love those boys. I love my wife. You try to hurt them, I'm going to, you know, if I can do it. Because I know what it's like when you can't do it. You know. See, we're called to live at a different standard. It took me about a year and a half to forgive Ricky for killing our daughter. And you can forgive what you would consider the unforgivable. You can do it. You can do it. You know, I want Jesus to forgive me. And I know by the grace of God, things could have gone weirder in my life. I don't want him to hold that jacket over me. You know, so what else can we do? And see, that's not the way the world operates. So that becomes different. He will give us what we need to walk out what he's asking us to walk out. He never says, walk it out and I'm not going to do anything for you and you figure it out. He will give us everything we need to walk out his will. He will give. If you've been wounded in the past, you need to forgive it, because you can't get healed from that. That bitterness and that resentment that you're pushing down and acting like that thing, I never have to forgive. It won't affect me. It won't affect everybody else. Oh, it affects. It affects. It affects everything. And we lie to ourselves when we think it doesn't. All these things that I just read you that Jesus said to his disciples, they seem impossible. But see, we have kingdom power. We come from a different place. We belong to a different family. We have to be wise, and we have a mandate to protect, and we have those things, and that's important. But these talking about regular life, you know, defending yourself from someone entering your home, it happens, but for the most of us, it's not going to happen. It's those other offenses. It's the offenses of the betrayal in a divorce. It's the offenses of molestation in a family. It's the offenses of a breaking up with someone who's done you wrong. It's the offense of going into business with someone who treated you wrong. All those things. Those are much more normal activities. That's our attitude in that. It's working with people that we work alongside. It's our spheres of influence and our spheres of relationship where most of this is going to be walked out. And I got to be able to have the strength to do it in those, because if I ever do face what we would consider the unthinkable, I'm not going to be good at that if I'm not good at this. Jesus wants to help his disciples. He's saying, listen, this is in you. You're my disciples. I already chose you. You're sitting separate from everybody. You're mine. But this is still operational in your life. Manage it. Manage it. And he goes on to say the contrast right here. I got a couple more minutes. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Even those that don't are not part, even the earth dwellers, the earthly kingdom people do that. What credit is that as a child of a different kingdom to do what they do? The credit is when you do what that kingdom does in this kingdom. He says, look, and if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Remember, Jesus already told his disciples how much reward they're going to get. So he's saying, you get no reward for that. You get no credit in the kingdom for that. That's what they do. Your credit will be here. He says, if you do by my kingdom, you get rewarded from my kingdom. And I keep track of your credits. And in fact, as I've shared with you guys before, if you give a glass of water in my name, you get credit for that. Now he's taking it to a whole nother level, the heart issue. He says, listen, even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. No, again, he repeats it. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. then your reward from heaven will be very great. Very great. He said earlier that your reward will be great. Here he takes it to a whole nother level and says, very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. That's the beautiful part. He didn't say you would be children of the Most High. You're already that. Your disciples are already that. But you'll be acting like the children of the Most High. And that is the crux. I don't only want you to be children of the Most High. You're already that. I paved the way for that. But I want you to act like children. And how you do that is you follow me and you do good. You do what I'm doing. Look what I'm going to do for Judas. But he was unwilling to listen. My prayer for us today is we are willing to listen. And if you consider someone in a relationship that you're in with, whether it's family, whatever, work, whatever, do good to them. They treat you badly, still do good to them. What does that mean, do good to them? Don't talk about them. Lift them up. Say something kind to them. I just can't even believe I'm saying that. Right? That's so weird. Do something to bless them. Bring them lunch. Do something. What Scripture later says, in the Old Testament, it says it pours coals on their head. You know what that means? It messes with their head. I hate that guy. Thank you for lunch. Now they're going to have to deal with that. And everybody else, because they tell people, is going to be looking at you too. That is just going to mess with them. You want to mess with them? That's how you mess with them. That's the best messing with them. Do something good to them. He says, then your reward will be great. I'm spending $8 to buy you a Chick-fil-A, but I am getting great reward for that. That's got to be worth like $100 up in heaven. That's a good investment. That's a good investment. I'll be kind. I won't speak. I won't tear you down with my mouth. He says, listen. You will be acting like children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. He is kind to those. He's kind to us. Many of us, you know, we don't walk around with a whole lot of thankfulness to God. But he's still kind to us. You must be compassionate. Another version says you must be merciful, just as your Father is compassionate. You must have compassion. You must see them as people who are operating out of their darkness. And oftentimes they don't even know it. People that have bitterness and hurt, and that they're going to be bitterful and hurtful. It's the way they are. So instead of absorbing all that, we begin to look at them and go, oh, that's why. They're bitter about stuff. Oh, they sting because they've been stung. So and we begin to see them, because that's what a child of God does. That's what he does towards us. He knows. So Jesus is telling his disciples, this is part of walking with me. These are the things to do, and these are the things to be aware of. Because they're there. He's helping the disciples. He doesn't leave us on our own. Because he performs acts of love to those who will not thank him. He performs acts of love to those who hate him. He performs acts of love to those who are not loving toward him. He performs acts of love to those who mistreat and hurt him. You know, you ever notice why sometimes the wicked prosper and it seems like God's blessing them? He is. He's kind to them. Oh, they will get theirs. They will come under judgment. But he's showing a kindness. Why can't I do that? I need to do that. He performs acts of love to those who mistreat him and hurt him. He performs acts of love to those who do not deserve it. He even performs acts of love to those who will use it against him. Because that is what the king does. That is what the children ought to do. So here's one thing I just want to leave you with real quickly is this. You got some dark stuff in you? We all do. One, be aware of it. If you don't know what it is, God, why do I keep doing these things that are not effective? Show me the dark in me. Show me where that comes from. Show me where that is birthed. Where did that get in me? So I can deal with it. I'm listening. And then be willing to deal with it. And part of that is this. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other. I need to let someone in. If I walk in shame, I need to bring that out so that the shame can be lifted. When you can share a shameful thing in a safe place where someone doesn't shame you, if you've done that, you have a great idea how healing that is. If you haven't, you have no idea how healing that is. I've had people tell me, Joe, oh God, you won't believe this. You probably never heard this before. And they tell me this thing that has been eating them up. I go, is that it? Huh. Yeah, I've heard that stuff before. What? Yeah, you've been hiding this thing. It's like, yeah. It's yeah. You know. Thank you for sharing that. Now we can deal with it. What do you think we ought to do here? Now we can look at it. That alone, I'm not the psycho I thought I was. The people told me. I'm not the crazy one. I'm not the most depraved, all that stuff. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Key to healing is other people involved in our lives. Key to healing. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So I've given you a solution on how to deal with dark stuff. One, ask God to reveal it. Ask God to help you. He already knows. He will shine light on it. You shine light on it. Share it. And then learn how to manage it. Because if you got insecurity, it's going to raise its head a numerous times. If you deal with jealousy, it's not a once and done. If you deal with judgmentalism, it's not, oh, thank you, Jesus, I won't do that again. If you deal with a angry person, you're still going to deal with that. Amen? Okay, I can keep going. Let's stand up. You get the gist, right? You got it? And remember, he's talking to his people. They're already his. He's saying, listen, as you walk with me, be aware of these things. Shine light. So, Lord Jesus, let me pray for you guys. Lord, I just lift up my brothers and sisters. I pray you would be diligent in shining the light of their dark stuff. I thank you for blessing them with the good stuff and the things they walk in the light with. But I pray specifically today that they would have ears to listen and be open to dealing with the things that motivate them, that one, they may not even know are there, and two, they may know, but they don't want to know. They know, but they don't want to deal with it. Give them the power. Give them the willingness to not allow that to control them anymore. Make us more and more light. Literally speaking, light in how we do life and light givers in how we follow you. That we may show them the source of the light in us. So Lord, bless my brothers and sisters. And all those who agree, say amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great day.